Everybody on the count of three, I want you to say pray first. One, two, three. And so my objective today is to give you an understanding of the power of prayer so that you can cultivate a prayer life that produces results in your life. I am about results. God is about results. His word is about results. Faith is about results. This is our year of manifested faith. The things that we have believed for privately, God is going to produce publicly in our lives. That means results, right? Joy is going to be our strength. And I'm telling you, I've been praying for you just to have so much joy. I mean, and not just joy because something special happened. I'm talking about joy just all through the day, you know, when you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the morning. How many know something, just quote unquote, good doesn't have to happen for me to have joy? I can just have joy all the time. So joy is going to be your strength and increase is going to be your portion. We said no matter what comes, no matter what goes, the only thing that's going to come out of our mouth is I believe God, all right? And so I'm excited about this lesson because prayer works. Everybody say prayer works. When I was a little boy, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, and she's been in heaven a few years now, and my grandmother always had these pins, like these round pins, they're about that big, and you'd put them on. I don't know where she got all these pins from, right? And so she would let me and my brother Joe wear the pins from time to time, and she would give us some, and I had one. It was a red pin with white letters on it, and it said, prayer works, right? And as a little boy, it was like, I was not ashamed to go around and to wear, you know, that. I remember one that she had given us, said Jesus saves, right? And I just remember those. And as a little boy coming up in church at my dad's church, I remember they would say, big prayer, big power. They say little prayer, little power. They say no prayer, no power, you know, and so prayer really does work, and you have to really honor the spirit of prayer and understand its importance and make prayer a priority in your life. Jesus says men or women, as the case may be, are to always pray and not faint or not give up. So I'm to always pray, not sometimes pray, always pray. Not pray if something's going on, I need God to do something for me. No, I'm to always pray. So the moment I wake up, I acknowledge God. All through the day, I acknowledge God. Before I go to bed, I acknowledge God that He is the author and the finisher of my faith. And I'm putting my trust and my confidence in Him that I'm going to communicate with Him all the time because prayer works. So what you have to learn to do is always pray and pray first. Prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. So we don't, you know, I guess I just need to finally go talk to Jesus. No, I should have been talking to Jesus in the beginning. Right? Like, He's the first person I need to talk to. Sometimes when trouble happens, we call everybody, but we forget to call on Jesus. Now, there's no problem with talking to other people because people help me. I get some wisdom, prayer partners. But the first person I should talk to before I talk to anybody is have a little talk with Jesus. Does that make sense? Because as I pray, I'm going to get ahead of myself. But as I begin to pray, He's going to give me the wisdom I need for specific situations, the ideas I need for specific situations, the answers I need for specific situations. So before I start going to everybody else, getting their thoughts, I need to get His thoughts. I need to get the mind of God on what's going on in my situation, and I get it through prayer.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And so prayer, watch me. When I pray, I can get the mind of God on what's going on in my life. All right. Everybody say pray first.
Pray first.
All right. That was kind of good, but let's say it again. Everybody say pray first.
Pray first.
So before the day begins,
pray first.
Before you go to bed,
pray first.
Before you go to work,
pray first.
Or school,
pray first.
Before you send that text,
pray first.
Before you eat,
pray first.
Before you travel,
pray first.
When bad things happen,
pray first.
Before bad things happen,
pray first.
In every situation,
pray first.
I'm going to bring God into every area of my life. I'm going to pray first, right? James 5:16 says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And it says that the earnest, it is the heartfelt. So when I pray, now, and let's talk about prayer, you know, for a moment, because, you know, I have met some people in my life, because I've been in church all my life, that I would just look at them and say, man, that person can pray, right? Like that person can get a prayer through. Well, guess what? We can all get a prayer through. Does that make sense? And as much as I honor their prayer life and I listen to them, you got it. I can't start denying that God won't hear me the same way he'll hear them. Does that make sense? And it's important, because maybe you just gave your life to Christ, or church is just new to you, and if you're not careful, you'll be intimidated, because, somebody came to me on Tuesday, and they're newer. They're like, Pastor, I didn't know you could pray like that. You understand? Well, no, prayer is our first ministry. Does that make sense? This ministry was founded on prayer, faith, and the word. You understand? And so, but maybe you can't pray like pastor or one of the lead. No. Prayer, you got to understand, we'll put my definition up, is communication with God. It is the channel of communication between the believer. Everybody say, that's me. And God. Everybody say, that's him. Whereby God's power is released into the earth realm through the combination, watch this now, of the believer's faith and the word of God. Because when we pray, how many know we pray the word? Because when we pray his will, and his will is his word. Does that make sense? So we're always praying the word. When I'm giving you the confessions that are on, whether the I Believe God confession, our momentum confession from last year, our confession book, confession of favor, confession of increase, confession of healing over our bodies. If you really just read that, you'll realize all we did was we assembled the word of God together. And we put it in paragraph form, in declaration form, for you to make it. So when I'm praying, you know, I'm simply praying the word of God. So this earnest, heartfelt, so I don't have to pray loud, you got it, like someone else. Or I don't have to pray quiet like someone else. I just pray the way I pray. Does that make sense? And as long as earnest or heartfelt, you got it. And I love the Amplified, because it says the heartfelt continued prayer. And in other words, God doesn't expect me to pray sometimes. He expects me to pray all the time. And so it makes tremendous power available, James 5:16 says. So there is power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Prayer is also communication with God, but it's confrontation with the devil, all right? I'm communicating with God, but I'm also confronting the enemy and letting him know that sickness and disease is not my portion, that anxiety, fear, and depression are not my portion, that lack is not my portion. You got it? Like, I'm hitting it head on. I'm not afraid of the devil, because I understand that the power is in the word. You understand? And to the degree I confess the word and pray the word, you got it, then power is made available to me in my situation, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I don't have to be scared of the devil. You got it. I don't have to be scared of the devil. I don't have to be scared of his antics. I don't have to be scared of anything. I'm not scared of anything, because the blood of Jesus is my protection. It is my payment. It is my pardon. The blood of Jesus takes care of everything in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So because I have the blood, I don't worry about the devil. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. Okay. So a negative thought comes, the blood be against you. Somebody says something negative about you, the blood be against you. You hear an evil report, the blood be against you. You got it? And I'm not talking to the person, I'm talking to the spirit of that thing. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood now, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's why it is important to learn to pray. And then once I begin to learn to pray, develop my prayer life, then I begin to learn that wait a minute, that thing that I hear pastor and some of them other people in church do, called praying in the spirit, that's not something funny. That's not something spooky. No, that's a heavenly prayer language that God will give to me, that I receive by faith, that when I pray, I'm building myself up. It strengthens me, and I'm also praying the perfect will of God for my life. You got it. So what I do is I have times, you know, I'm always going to pray in my understanding. You got it. But then pray the word. But then I also pray in the spirit. And when I'm praying in the spirit, you know, I'm praying the perfect will of God for my life. And so what I do is I don't want to use the word make myself, but I make myself pray in the spirit for lengths of time. You know, I'll pray in the spirit for 5 minutes straight or for 10 minutes straight. It was funny, the other day, a lady had called me, and I had already prayed about some things, and then I was praying for you about some things, right? And then I pray what I know I can in my understanding. Can I just teach this morning? Is that all right? Yeah, I pray what I know I can, you know, for your health. You got I got that covered. I'm going to pray for your families and your children and your grandchildren and your great grandchildren, that God would protect them, that angels would be on assignment. I curse confusion in faith. Families, you know, and those kind of things. I pray for the marriages. I pray for increase. But then there's certain things that you might be going through that I don't know. So then what I do is I pray in the spirit. So now when I'm praying in the spirit, even though I don't know, the mind of God knows. And now I'm praying in the spirit, and I'm praying the perfect will of God for. So I'm thinking about WLCC, and I'm praying in the spirit. So I said, I'm going to pray 5 minutes in the spirit. And I had a clock on, and lady called me, you know, and I was at like 3, 2. By the time she called me, it was like 10 seconds. So I'm letting it ring, right? I'm trying to pray in the spirit and catch her call at the same time. So, I'm, you know, and she kind of, she's like, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm praying in the spirit. I had to get at least 5 minutes. And she said, oh, okay. You know, but it's important to understand that Paul didn't say we don't know how to pray. He said sometimes we don't know what to pray. Does that make sense? Sometimes for your life, I don't know exactly what to pray, but the Spirit of God makes intercession. You understand? And so now I'm beginning to pray in the Spirit, and I'm interceding for things that you haven't said anything to us about, maybe haven't even written on a prayer card. It's okay, because God knows, and I can agree with you in the Spirit. Pray the perfect will of God. Now I'm in agreement with you. It has got to come to pass. Does that make sense? Man, that's good right there. So it's communication with God, but it's confrontation with the devil. That's why the writer says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What he's saying is whatever you declare to be lawful in the earth is what has to already be lawful in heaven. He says, whatever you declare to be unlawful in the earth is what has to already be unlawful in heaven. So it starts at as it is in heaven, so shall it be in the earth. Does that make sense? And so I find out what is lawful in heaven and what is unlawful in heaven, and that's what I declare in the earth realm, right? So increase is lawful in heaven, wouldn't you agree? Healing is lawful in heaven. Peace and joy and increase is lawful in heaven. Let me tell you what's unlawful in heaven: confusion, sickness, disease, pain, infirmity, depression, fear. You got, and so because you got to catch this, because it is already unlawful in, watch this, in heaven, when I begin to declare, watch this, it has to be unlawful in earth, I don't have to make something happen, because the God of the universe has already declared it has to be unlawful. I'm now agreeing with his word, but I'm opening my mouth and declaring it. Watch this now. And if I hold fast to my profession of faith without wavering and keep declaring the word, something supernatural is going to happen. Something is going to translate from the heavenlies down to the natural to bring forth the perfect will of God for my life. Does that make sense? So that's why you can't stop confessing the word of God. That's why you can't stop praying. I don't care if it looks like it ain't working. It is working. You got it. I don't care if it don't feel like it ain't working. Take your feelings, put them where? In your back pocket, right? I'm not being mean, but what I'm saying is this is a fight we're in, right? And you got to realize that the devil don't fight fair. You got it. He'll use emotions. He'll use shame. He'll use somebody you love to say something to try to get you offended. And you got to get it made up in your mind. I'm not going to do that. You got it? I know I'm going to take my emotions. I'm going to put them in my back pocket. I'm going to live by faith because I'm going to see God do something. See, when you're praying, saints, you're not just praying for you, but you're praying for those that are connected to you. Somebody in your family is dependent on you to get a prayer through. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody is dependent on you. You got it? And so, oh man, this is good to me. This is good. I haven't got to any points yet. And I don't even got three, I got four. I don't know if that's good or bad, praise the Lord. But it's okay, we're gonna get through it. We're gonna get through it. Now when I pray, my heart must be right toward God. All right? Now because let me just help you. It's gonna be hard for me to come to God. I've been treating lady bad. I'm just telling you, it's going to be hard. And I don't treat lady bad, you understand? Everybody can look at it right now if you want to. You know that's what happens. You start talking about, I'm a good husband, you know, I treat my wife right. And then half the congregation, let me see. Let me go right to the source, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to do that, you understand what I'm like? See, I want you to pray for me, you understand? There's certain things you ain't got to pray, though, you understand? Lord, don't let pastor be mean to lady. That ain't never going to happen, you understand what I'm saying? You got it. Because there has to come a time in your life where you have spiritual maturity, where you have some convictions in life, some convictions that you live by. You understand? Convictions of faithfulness and convictions of loyalty. And you understand what I'm saying? For convictions that I love God too much. You understand? So it ain't even about getting into heaven, slipping in, sliding in on the second gate on the right to make... No. You understand? No. I love God and I have so much gratitude for the light that he's given me. You understand? Like seriously, I don't just say this. Like somebody didn't wake up this morning and I woke up this morning. That's enough to give God praise for. There is somebody right now down there at the hospital. I can't remember what it's called. You understand? You got it? Carolina East, you got it? You know, and laying in the hospital, you got it, fighting something, you know, and we pray for their total and complete healing in Jesus' name. But you were able to walk into this room, lift your hands, and worship God. And people want to fight about dumb stuff. Come on, somebody. I want to go back and forth about crazy stuff. No, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to worship God. As for me and my house, we're going to love. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be forgiving. We're going to be generous. We're going to do it God's way, and we're going to get God results in our lives. That's a good place to clap right there. If I get to the points, I do. If I don't, I don't. You getting something out of this lesson. Normally, I ask you, you getting anything out of this today? I'm telling you, you getting something out of this lesson. So my heart has to be right because the condition of my heart determines the outcome of my faith. Does that make sense? That's why I realize the importance of making sure I keep my heart right. Because if my heart is not right, you got it, I really can't have faith. And if I can't have faith, I really can't please God. You got it? Because faith works by love, right? And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so the condition of my heart determines the outcome of my faith. I can't go to God and pray. I can't go to God and intercede. I can't go to God and ask the prayer for a petition if I've been mean, if I've been ugly, if I've been doing things that are not right. And that is why on Tuesday night, the first thing we did when we came together as a corporate family and began to pray, the first thing we did was we prayed the prayer of repentance. That's the first thing. We declared the blood of Jesus. We asked him to forgive us for any sins, known or unknown. Wash us and cleanse us in the blood of the Lamb. And then after that, before we asked him for anything, we went into the prayer of praise and thanksgiving, right? So I'm cleansing myself of everything that's not like God. And then now I'm beginning to praise him. I begin to worship him. I begin to adore him for who he is. And as I do that and I worship him, that's when I really begin to see that his presence is showing up in my life. You got it. I am declaring that he is the author and the finisher of my faith, that he is my Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't matter what's in the bank. I'm declaring he's my Jehovah Jireh. It doesn't matter if there's a little pain in my back. I'm declaring he's Jehovah Rophika, the Lord my healer. You understand? I'm declaring that he is my banner of victory. I'm declaring that he is my goodness and he is my grace. You understand? That he is my more than. Lord, I just love you with everything that's within me. My soul loves you. My soul makes a boast to you. You're the God of my salvation. You're the lifter up of my hung down here. As I'm saying that in my mind, I'm speaking words, but I'm thinking about the life that he's given me and the family that he's given me and the good kids that he's given. I'm thinking about his goodness in my life. Does that make sense? And then I go into the prayer petition. He has no problem with us asking because he tells us that he wants us to ask, and he's a good father and he gives us good gifts. But there's a way that we have to approach. So my heart must be right with God. Thank God that Jesus has come and the veil has been ripped from the top to the bottom. And now it gives us direct access to God. We don't have to wait for a priest to go into the Holy of Holies on our behalf. You and I can go to God at any moment, right? And even when there was a priest, he would have to go in and he would have to go in dancing. You got it? They put a rope around him. Why? Because if he went in the Holy of Holies and he fell dead in the presence of God, nobody else could go in. They would have to drag him out. Before he goes in, one of the last things he sees was what they called a laver. A laver was just this pot, and it was water, so he could look to see his reflection, to realize that I am a mere man going into the presence of God. In other words, I'm trying to do everything I can to make sure that my heart is right before I enter in. So I pray the prayer of repentance because I want my heart right towards God. You understand? And then I pray the prayer of praise and worship and thanksgiving. And then I pray the prayer of petition. And then, you know, there's prayers of intercession and prayers of binding and loosing and, you know, and those kind of things. And we don't pray if it be your will if we know his will. Yeah. Does that make sense? The only ever time you ever pray, if it be your will, is if you really don't know which way to go. Watch this, and it's not in the word. Healing is in the word. So we don't have to say, if it be your will, heal me. It's already in the word. You got it? But let's take it in natural. There's job A and job B. Both of them are good. Both of them pay $150,000 a year. I'm just declaring big numbers on you. It's time to stop thinking about small numbers. You got to think about big numbers. You got it? So both of them pay $150,000. You got it? With benefits. You understand? Good benefits. You understand what I'm saying? Right. See, now, if I was you, what I would have done was I'd have caught that thing in the spirit. Father, I thank you for an income of $150,000 in Jesus' name. And it doesn't mean you even got to quit your job. You got it? Because one thing I declare over you, I declared it on Tuesday night. I don't know if you heard it, but I declare that you make multiple streams of passive income and you make money while you sleep at night. I pray that over your life. You don't even know it. You got it? And so you could be at a job making $100,000. You got it? But don't leave the job. God can cause another stream to come. Does that make sense? And so, but if we don't believe, it doesn't become possible for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, but you know, if I say 150, believe, receive faith for it. But if you're at 60, right now, just believe for 70. Come on, somebody. See, we got to use wisdom because everything is a process. You got it? You know, believe for 75. That doesn't. Now, God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and I believe in that. You got it. All right. So, man, I'm still on this heart right thing. 1 Peter 3:12. Y'all get anything out of this?
Yeah.
I said I wasn't going to ask y'all. I was going to tell y'all. All right. Court done come, and I ain't even got to my first point. Praise the Lord. All right. It ain't her fault. It ain't her. So look at you and say, it ain't her fault. All right. 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over who?
The righteous.
All right. Now, just boldly clear. That's me.
That's me.
Yeah, I know that's right. And his ears are open unto their
prayers.
So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's you and I. You got it? It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do
evil.
And family, we got to take the word and we got to live by it.
Yeah.
You got it? And that's not being mean, but if I'm doing evil, I just got to stop doing evil. You got it. If I'm caught up in sin that I shouldn't be in habitually, I got to stop doing it. If I'm treating people mean, if I'm cussing folk out, if I'm doing things that are not like God, that's evil. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, but the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and that's good to know because I'm righteous, so his eyes are over me and his ears are open to my prayers. So that means that every time I open my mouth, whether it's loud, whether it's silent, whether I'm praying strong like somebody I know, or I'm just opening my mouth saying, Father, I thank you for my healing. Watch this, his ears are open to my prayers.
Amen.
Matthew 6 and 7. Let's watch this. It says, but when, notice it didn't say if. It said when. Why? Because he fully expects us to pray. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their what class? All right, kind of like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the Bible trying to be all, traditional and on the corner, their eloquent speech. You know, Father, we know that you know that we know that you know. So since you know, we know you know, we know you know. See, praying out of tradition might produce good speech, but praying in faith produces God's power.
Amen.
And it produces God's power to transform your situation. You got it? And because now remember, just because we're saved doesn't mean we're exempt from adversity.
Right.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Right.
But no matter what, I believe God.
Yes.
Right? So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord makes a promise that he's not going to deliver us out of the some, but he's going to deliver us out of them
all.
All right? So every time a challenge arises, you have to make a choice, panic or peace. Right? This is a good place to go home, Maestro. This is a good place home. Everybody say panic.
Or peace.
One more time. Panic.
Or peace.
So every time a challenge arises, I got to make it up in my mind. Am I going to be rattled? Am I going to be moved? Am I going to be upset? Am I going to be mad? Am I going to be, frustrated? Panic. Or am I going to stop? If I got to count the 10 backwards to just get myself together, come on, somebody. I know I'm not the only one like that.
Amen.
Right? And say, no, I'm going to just take a deep breath. 10, 9, 8, you got it? And let the Holy Spirit help me. And then, and in that moment, watch this. Even if it's, Father, I need you.
Yes.
That's not a bad prayer.
Yes.
Father, help me. Father, give me the wisdom I need or the strength that I need. Sometimes it's, Father, fix this situation.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just, I bind the devil in Jesus' name. And then what you're doing is instead of panic, you're choosing peace.
Yes.
And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will then guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And so what prayer does is when I get into his presence, let me just help you. Prayer calms you down. That's what it does. Prayer calms you down. Prayer helps you to begin to think clearly. And now because I'm in his presence, they're not my thoughts. But now, watch this, the mind of God is giving me everything I need as it relates to my life, as it relates to my situation, as it relates to help my family or help my children or help my loved ones or help a friend. He's giving me everything that I need. So that's why the writer says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything.
Yes.
Tell God what you need and then thank him for what he's already done. If you do that, then you will experience God's peace. That surpasses anything you can understand. So his peace will keep you as you guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. Father, we thank you for the word. And we just thank you, Father, that in the name of Jesus, that it's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness, because our righteousness is filthy rags. But Father, we thank you that you are over the righteous and your ears are open to our prayers. And so, Father, I thank you for the revelation that's come today, for the illumination that has come today. for the faith that's been increased in the lives of the believers in this room and online, that they now have a better understanding of prayer. And that the moment that they pray, they realize that you hear them. And not only do you hear them, but you answer them. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. You glad you came to church today?